Good afternoon, everybody, and a warm welcome to the celebration of life service for Elizabeth Horse. If you would like to give in remembrance of Elizabeth, you can do that online through the funeral directors, or you can do that direct to Release International. But if you only came prepared to give through cash or cheque, you can put it in the box at the back and it will go to Release International via the church. But anyway, it is lovely to have you here. We wished in a sense that it was under different circumstances, but it is lovely to see you. And I know that Patrick and the family are very pleased that you've been able to come out and to support and to encourage on this occasion. The psalmist says, he says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In other words, all that we go through in life, the Lord is there and he will help and encourage us along the way. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Well, Elizabeth is now looking at the face of her Saviour. She is with him and enjoying his presence. And it's a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way. Let's begin the service by praying. So let's bow. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this afternoon, thanking you for the life of Elizabeth Horse. As we go through this service, we ask that you would make your comfort known to each one of us. Lord, we have known Elizabeth for a long time. We have valued her as a friend, as one of our family, as a mother. And Lord, we ask that you, in your grace, would be close to each one of us. We ask particularly that you would be close to Patrick and to Ruth and to Anne. We pray for all who will be feeling that loss today, the loss of Elizabeth. In all of our hearts, we ask for the peace which you alone can provide, peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for every remembrance of Elizabeth, for her love for others and for her passion for Christ. We pray that you will help us to grieve and to know you speaking into our situation with words of heavenly wisdom. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's somewhat disappointing because I know that Elizabeth would love to be able to, for us to have been able to sing, but unfortunately, such are the guidelines that we can't. But what we are able to do is to listen to the hymns as they're played, and you have the words in front of you so you can see just how wonderfully deep and rich and meaningful the songs that Elizabeth loved are. So we're going to hear, I will sing the wondrous story. tributes. Patrick is going to come and share, and then I believe it's Ruth and Anne are going to come and share as well afterwards. So, Patrick.
Firstly, some thank yous. Ruth and Anne, my daughters, all their support and practical help. Then to our church, their prayers, providing meals and in other practical ways. To our wider family, some of whom are able to be here today, and we thank you for coming. And then all the carers who came to our flat to help Elizabeth as she got less and able to cope, and I got less able to cope with her. And then finally, the Highcliffe Nursing Home, where she was just for the last 3 weeks of her life. Then, thank you to all who've sent well-chosen cards and sympathetic letters, including those from the Forest Rambling Club, and they've all been much appreciated. I've got them all set out around the flat. Also, we're grateful to the undertakers, to Julian and Sue Haley and their team. Also to Simeon and others in the church who have helped in many ways for today. And also to all of you who are giving or have given donations to Release International in her memory. Persecuted Christians were very much laid on her heart, and for her prayer time she had a great sort of sheaf of details of different prisoners, and she really prayed very much for them all. And if others of you think you should have had a particular thank you, I'm sorry I've missed you out. Firstly then, as we think about Elizabeth, her early life, she often said she came into the world with a bang. She was born 2 months after the start of World War II, and she was born on the 5th of November. So you can see why she said that. Her mother was visiting her own parents in Welling, Kent, in the borough of Bexley, when Elizabeth was born unexpectedly. And then just to fast forward to when we were going to be getting married, and we went to the registry office, and then she discovered that the same registrar had completed both our birth certificates, because I was born in the borough of Bexley as well. In fact, lived there for over 20 years. So where did she live? She lived initially in Edgware, North London, with her parents for about 11 years, and then her father's work took her to Enfield, and so they moved there. And that was when she was about 11. When she was 15, in those days you could leave school at 15, she was pleased to do that. And the only thing she excelled at was domestic science. She left without any exams, no GCSEs or anything like that, and she was always rather self-conscious and felt inferior about not having any O-levels. So on now to married life. Obviously this has to be a condensed account, as tomorrow we would have been married 59 years. I was still in Bexley, Elizabeth was in Enfield. So how did we meet? Well, an evangelist was asked to form a choir to sing at the annual open-air Brethren Witness in Trafalgar Square. and volunteers were invited from various Brethren chapels. Elizabeth and her sister Gwen, they decided to volunteer as they liked singing, and my friend Brian and I, we also volunteered, not knowing that we were going to meet each other. We also sang at other missions that the evangelist held around London, and so we saw each other quite regularly. After a while, I said to Brian, I was attracted to Elizabeth. And his response was to say that he was drawn to her sister Gwen. Just as well, we weren't both drawn to the same one, wasn't it? So love blossomed, and both of us, both couples, were married in 1961. So the photograph on the back of the order of service is from our wedding on that day. There could be many little humorous things one could say, but when I was courting Elizabeth, naturally I was invited to meals at her parents' home. And after a while, I began to understand how important meals were to them. We'd be sitting at the meal table. I hadn't been used to this, sitting at the meal table, and somebody was talking excitedly about a meal they'd just had, or a meal they were going to have. And I'd not been used to that, because that wasn't something we did in our home. So I said, perhaps a bit unkindly, I said that her family lived to eat while our family ate to live. Our first home was in Chatham, Kent. We were there for about 5 years and we were active in the local chapel. I was working in insurance offices and I got a new post in a London office. So we therefore moved to Romford in 1966 so that it would be nearer for getting into London. And we joined the chapel there. Right through all our married life, Elizabeth worked with children. She loved children and they loved her. Nothing gave her greater pleasure than teaching them the Bible, which she did throughout her life. Meanwhile, I was needing more training, I felt, because I was getting more invitations to preach at chapels around. And so I applied to the London Bible College and was accepted to do a 3-year degree course in 1972. Elizabeth was fully supportive of this decision, bearing in mind I was giving up my post in an insurance office and was going to live on a grant. So to supplement our reduced income, she was willing to do housework, and it so happened that it was a Jewish couple who she went to work for, and she learned quite a lot about their customs, and she found that quite interesting. But it wasn't beneath her to go and do some housework. She was always a very humble kind of person. So where would we go in 1975 at the end of my degree course? I was preaching, students did preach around at various churches, and in my second year I went to preach at Ewhurst Evangelical Church in Surrey, and they asked, was I interested in becoming their pastor? So I pointed out that I was only in my second year, and so it was agreed I would go and preach there in my final year. And they called me as pastor to start about a month after I finished at LBC. Finished there in June and I went to the church in July. Again, let me emphasize, I would not have done all this without Elizabeth's Elizabeth being right behind me, both of us were sensing that we were in the Lord's will. And so over 29 years, we served the Lord in different churches. When it came to retirement, we had two desires. One was to be nearer our family, and Elizabeth especially was keen to be near the sea. And that's why we came to New Milton. It ticked the right boxes, including having this evangelical church. And Ruth and her family, they also said, we'd like you to be nearer to us when you retire. So that's it all worked out in that kind of way. I'm going to leave Ruth and Anne to say more about their memories of what Mum meant to them and to Ruth's family. Just a few words about her final days. In May, Elizabeth was not feeling well, and eventually a specialist got her to have two scans, and the diagnosis in early June shocked us. We were told she had an untreatable brain tumour. Many friends and ourselves, we were praying that the Lord might work a miracle. But it was not to be. So she gradually weakened in health, and so on the 3rd of August, she was admitted to the Highcliffe Nursing Home, and she spent just 3 weeks there, as I've already said, passing away peacefully on the 24th of August. She never complained, and indeed was always thankful for all that I and others did for her. It was wonderful. She had very little in the way of pain. To summarize, she was a remarkable lady whose close relationship with Jesus Christ made her the person she was. He often radiated from her. Just look at the photo on the front of the order of service taken on our 50th wedding anniversary. She would not expect to be praised, but she would give him all the glory for everything worthwhile and praiseworthy that she did.
Mum often said that she didn't want us to go to any trouble on her behalf, even though she went out of her way for others. So I'm not quite sure what she'd say about all this. Being an introvert, she didn't like to be in the limelight, but could usually be found working hard in the background. Mum was kind and generous and was never critical of others. She took great pleasure in new places, sights, and the beauty of the natural world, and she was really keen to share that enthusiasm with us. Because Mum was young at heart, she was game for anything, especially with her grandsons, Luke and Sam. They have happy memories of holidays in Lee and Herne Bay, playing in the greenhouse, baking, drinking hot Vimto, and the big treat of a visit to the Dreamland Fun Fair. Dad could never be persuaded to go in the sea if it was anything less than Mediterranean temperature, but Mum got stuck in, even donning a wetsuit to join the boys for a bodyboarding session on a family holiday in Cornwall.
Mum loved being creative with crafts. She would spend hours at the beach collecting shells, and then she would use them to decorate jam jars and other pots. She didn't like to waste anything, so Christmas cards that we sent her would be recycled, and you might get it back as a gift tag the following Christmas. Mum was a great cook. All the family loved her cakes, and her chocolate caramel shortbreads were always a winner, especially with Richard. And according to Luke and Abby, her sticky toffee pudding was legendary. She had a recipe book which is older than both of us, and it's now in Ruth's hands, so Ruth's got a lot to live up to.
Mum was family focused and went out of her way to make everyone feel welcome and loved. We had wonderful family Christmases with great food and her trademark little extra presents. One very special Christmas was spent together in Switzerland, and Mum absolutely loved our time up in the Swiss mountains, walking in the falling snow on Christmas Day. In recent years, Mum was happy to see Luke get married to Abby, and then was thrilled to become a great-grandma to Felix, Wren, and Nell. She loved watching them play. Joined in when she could, and proudly collected photos of them.
Mum was funny, sometimes without meaning to be. She loved all kinds of word games, which I seem to have inherited from her. She loved to join in family games, and although she sometimes struggled to understand the rules, maybe she was having us on because she would end up winning and not know how it had happened. Well, that's what she told us anyway. We can't talk about Mum without mentioning the importance of her faith and her love for the Lord. She was prayerful and had a love for God's word, and both she and Dad passed on a solid spiritual foundation to us.
Okay. During our last visits to see Mum, we found this little prayer by Amy Carmichael, which Mum had cut out and kept in her Bible, and which we both separately read to her. Jesus, our risen Lord, King of the grave, ruler of threatening powers, fierce wind and wave, courage and peace and song to thee, dear Lord, belong. Make us calm and strong, peaceful and brave.
You're not to share more with us. This is a very special lady. We're going to miss her at the church. I'm going to have a reading from God's words, and Laurie Joe is going to come and read that to us, Luke chapter 24, and verses 13 and 16, and then 25.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Then from verse 25. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
you. We're going to listen to the next hymn, Before the Throne of God Above. I'm going to pray. First of all, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and then I'll pray another prayer that follows that. If you know the Lord's Prayer, I'm reading it from the King James Version, so you're very welcome to join in if you'd like to, but I haven't got the words for you to do that. But if you remember them, then please join in. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, we thank you that you make your will and purpose plain to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that Jesus Christ is your way of salvation. And we thank you that Elizabeth knew that and so fixed her eyes and her life upon you. Teach us then, Lord, we ask, to number our days that we too may gain a heart of wisdom, that we might recognize that we too need to be at peace with you. Continue to watch over us and to encourage us and comfort us. Move in family and friends alike that they might know your presence and power in these days. Help us to rejoice in you even in our sadness. We thank you that we do not grieve as the world does with no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that Jesus will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in him. So we look forward to that day when you will reunite us with those who have gone before. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I went to see Patrick the other day to talk to him about the funeral arrangements. I do that normally with folk that have a loved one to be buried. And we talked about various things. And then we came to talk on the passage that I was to speak on today. And he told me, whatever the Lord leads you to. Now, I like to think I'm a spiritual guy, but those words filled me with dread. And here is why. Elizabeth has said to me after several of the funerals that I've taken over the years, she said on a number of occasions, I hope that when you take my funeral, that you will do as good a job for me as you did for them. Well, there's nothing like a bit of pressure to clear the mind. So I prayed. And it dawned on me that over the years, Elizabeth has given me various cards and notes of thanks. My filing system, it leaves a lot to be desired. But I looked through the drawers and, it wasn't a note or a card that caught my eye, but a handwritten testimony that Elizabeth gave me back when I interviewed her at a Guerrilla Christian back in 2011. And you'll be pleased to know, Patrick, that your recollections seem to match most of Elizabeth's. I like texts to speak on that have meant something to the person that we're remembering. Well, the text that I want to speak on today is Elizabeth's baptism text. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I could have picked the other text which we had read to us, which I'm told was the message that was given at your wedding. But I decided that this one really sums up Elizabeth in the best way possible. Trust is a funny thing, isn't it? It requires you to believe that another has as much concern for you, or as much care for you, as you have for yourself. No doubt you've all been involved in those trust exercises. You know, you get somebody to stand in front of you, and you tell them, you know, close your eyes and just let go. It's not an easy thing to do, is it, to put your trust completely in another? How much more then to believe that God has hold of you and will not let you go? Yet that's exactly what Elizabeth did. At a young age, she came to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life on the cross in her place to pay her sin debt, to grant her the holiness needed to be able to enter into heaven where she is now. She came to understand that Yahweh, the covenant God, which is the God that is spoken of in this verse, was so committed to keeping his word that he chose to become like us in order to rescue us, chose to go to face a cross and a death, well, which, let's face it, most of us would have avoided, but did so in order that he might rescue us. Elizabeth loved song lyrics, and this is by one hymn writer who says this: "Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant king, who calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king." Well, Elizabeth loved to do that. But you know, to trust with all your heart is no mean feat, is it? To trust in such a way as that there is no room for any doubt. Well, in truth, there is only one who has ever done that and done it perfectly, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, in trusting his Father when he went to the cross. So what do we mean then when we read those verses? We mean then to do something with all your heart is to be so invested that the thousand other distractions in life never take away the confidence that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. From raising children through multiple moves, mental illness, and then facing a brain tumor, Elizabeth was invested in following Christ. Now, does that mean that there were no wobbles or times of being scared? Of course not. Yet through it all, Elizabeth trusted Christ. The second verse of the first song that we sang says, "I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come o'er me. Sorrow's path I often tread, but his presence still is with me. By his guiding hand I'm led." And that's exactly Elizabeth's testimony. Now, always there is a temptation, isn't there, to try to second-guess God. Or that perverse thought that we entertain sometimes that we might know better than him. People believe themselves so clever, don't they? Now, I'm not talking about the arrogant few who believe that their intellect is so big that they can explain away God and the universe. I'm not talking about those. I mean that we all think too much of ourselves and our opinions. We fool ourselves into thinking that we have all of the answers and that we have explored all of the options. If you don't believe me, next time you feel your opinion has been slighted or has been turned aside for another, check how you feel about it. Because all too often we think very much of our own thoughts. But when you trust the Lord, it is simply a recognition that only he has all the answers. That only he will help you when everything else seems to be going so wrong. Being a Christian isn't about having all the answers, as if that were possible. It's about accepting that you don't, and having the humility to learn from the one who does. When you read Elizabeth's testimony, it's obvious that Elizabeth wondered whether she had the right pieces of paper to qualify her to speak in the church, or even the right kind of experience to match up to who she thought she should be when she spoke for Jesus. I would say that her humility and genuine faith made her excel at whatever she did. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew she didn't have all the answers. She knew she didn't match up to some of the people that she perceived to be those that had the answers. Yet she simply trusted Christ and spoke from her heart about him. Now, I have to say that that's made more of an impact on, well, my children's life than she really knows. When they heard that Elizabeth was unwell, my Liz got them to write down just a few notes, and Patrick was kind enough to show them to me when I went round to visit. Now, I didn't know what was in them, but clearly, Elizabeth had an effect on their lives. The verse goes on to say, doesn't it? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Or to put it another way, don't make decisions and get ahead of yourself or go off on your own way without first seeking the will of God. Sadly, people do, don't they, really? There will be some here today who have never looked to God for his guidance. And they will wonder why their lives never seem as full as Elizabeth's life seemed. Not full because she did lots of exciting things. She wasn't really one that went out, hand gliding and all those kind of things. She wasn't in that thing. She had her own things that she loved to do. But full because she knew that she was in the center of God's will and was surrounded by his love. Now, we would never contemplate setting off on a long journey without having consulted a map, would we? Or in this day and age, put our sat-nav on, because we rely on them rather a lot. How much more foolish, then, never to consult with God who knows the plan for your life. Elizabeth was wise enough to know that she needed the Lord Jesus Christ. There are, according to Jesus, but two destinations to which we go. One is easily blundered into. Any fool can get there. It just requires that you ignore Christ. You give him a wide berth and you don't believe a word he says. Entrance is guaranteed, and an eternity without the grace and kindness of God is insured. It is what the Bible calls hell. As Christians, we shy away from that. We're scared of that word because we know that it upsets people. The other destination is less easily found. Only those who have come to Jesus Christ, who have confessed their sin, who have received his forgiveness and been given access through him, will be there. This the Bible calls heaven. For Elizabeth, Jesus has done what he promised. This verse promised that if she built her life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then he would make her path straight. Well, he has removed every obstacle from her path and taken her to be with himself forever, as he promised. The real question that Elizabeth would have me ask is this: will you be there? Will you have the sense to trust in Christ and have your salvation secure? Or will you assume that you know better and discover too late how wrong you were? In the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, you come to a stage and the history of the world has been mapped out for all to see. And thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done, this is what is said by the writer. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is now with Elizabeth, and she rests from her deeds. She rests from her labor, and she knows an eternity of peace with him. Let me ask you sincerely, how sure are you of where you will be when you pass from this life to the next? Let's pray. Loving Father, as we think of Elizabeth and we thank you and praise you for her life, As we think of all that she has done for us, Lord, over the years, we think of the gracious way in which she has encouraged us and the gracious way in which she has even challenged us when she's seen that we have gone wrong. We want to thank you that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And though, Lord, we know that she was not perfect, we thank you for the example that she has left us. We pray that we might follow in her footsteps and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own. And know that one day we will be with you for all eternity. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Are we going to choose? I wasn't going to say that. We're going to sing again, but we're not going to listen again to the next hymn, which is a reminder that Elizabeth lived in all about Jesus, my heavenly Lord. Thine be the glory, risen on earth.
Section that we call the committal. I'm going to read first of all Psalm 23, then I will give the words of the committal, then I will pray. And this is the theory of how it should go, is that if the family would like to, they are welcome to go out to the front of the church and watch the coffin put into the hearse and go away. But the rest of you, we're asking if you could go out to the car park, and if you want to stop and chat with one another, that you do that there. And then the family will join you, I'm sure, after the hearse has gone. Let me read to you Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. It has pleased Almighty God to call away from this life our dear sister Elizabeth, and we therefore now commit her body to be cremated, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, knowing her soul is with God, her Maker and Saviour, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to life immortal, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and is risen again and is at the right hand of God. Lord, as we go from this place now, we ask that you would bless us with good memories of Elizabeth and enable us to grieve well. But we also ask that you would move in us to be at peace with you, that we too will one day enjoy the unbroken pleasure of being in your presence. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace. Amen. Amen. So if you'd like to make your way out to either the car park or out to the front, if you're a member of the family, and then they will come and collect the coffin and take it out.